was Adam married to?
Eve. Adam and Eve, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Who was Adam married to?
Eve.
Eve.
What was the name of Abraham's son?
I have no idea. I don't remember. I don't know. No.
Cain.
Joseph.
Was it Luke? No. Abraham. Joseph. Nope. I don't know.
Luke?
No.
Isaac.
How many plagues did God send on Egypt during Moses' time?
Seven, I believe.
The eight? No, 10? Ah, I was close.
How many disciples did Jesus have?
Seven. No, 12, yeah, 12, yeah, 12, 12 is like 12 of them, 12 of them.
Seven, 10, eight.
How many disciples did Jesus have?
12.
What is the day of Pentecost?
No idea.
I don't know.
Pentecost. Is that the one where they wipe the blood above the door?
Pentecost. Is that Easter Sunday?
Excuse me, ma'am. Do you know the day of the Pentecost?
I'm not sure.
What is the first book of the Bible?
Is it like a name of a person?
Revelations.
Oh my gosh, I knew that. Peter. I don't know.
Will you say the question for me?
What is the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
Who did David fight?
Goliath. Yeah.
What weapon did David use when fighting Goliath?
A sword. I don't know.
A bow and arrow, right?
A rock and a sling.
A sword. Rocks. He stoned him.
Can you name any of the disciples?
Ooh, wow. What? Peter, Paul? No, that's probably right off the top of my head. No, and I even got a picture of the Last Supper hanging on the wall. I've been to Milano and seen the Last Supper.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Joseph.
Leviticus one? I'm making that up. I think I'm making that up. That's about it. I don't know, really.
All right. If there was any doubt why we're doing the Big Ten series, we just showed you why. Those are people from our community. And the fact is, a lot of people don't know what the Bible says. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. Today, we're going the story of the day of Pentecost. And if you have a Bible, I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. It'll be on the screen. It'll be on the notes that you were passed out as well. While you're turning there, I just want to remind you that the growth track that you saw the video about is today from 2 to 4. We'd love to have everybody take the next step in getting involved and learning more about the church and getting involved in the ministry. The growth track is how you do that. The information's in your bulletin. And then also today, we have Pastor Phil and Alicia Sadica that are with us. They are right over here. Stand up, Pastor Phil and Alicia. Amen. In just a few weeks, they're going to be starting New Hope Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, right outside St. Louis. And so we are partnering with them. And so God bless them. We are glad that they are here today as well. So thank God for that. How many of you know that God's Word has great power? I was reading a book a couple weeks ago while I was on vacation. The name of the book is Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And it's the testimony of a lesbian professor from Syracuse University who was a tenured professor there who taught all of the women's classes, and how she was starting to do a story or do a paper on the religious right. And she was going to do some research about why they hated homosexuals and all the like. And so she thought, in order to have academic integrity or intellectual integrity, she would need to read their source, the Bible. So she started reading the Bible. And her testimony is that she would read it up to 4 to 5 hours a day. And God put some people in her life, some pastors who took some time to answer her questions and talk to her. And after a period of 2 years, guess what happened? She gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Amen. And her life is transformed. You say, hey, Pastor, how in the world does that happen? Can I tell you why? Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. This is a dangerous book. Amen. And that's why I'm challenging you as your pastor. I want to challenge you. Open the book every day. Read the book every day. It does something to you. It does something in you. It does something for you. Okay? So if you're following the Bible reading plan that's on the back of your notes, or if you have your own plan, make sure you got a plan that you're reading the Bible, because it's alive. It transforms people. It transforms relationships. It transforms marriages. It transforms neighborhoods. It transforms churches. Come on, somebody. And if we want to turn back to God in the United States of America, we got to turn back to the Word of God in the United States of America. Give God praise if you believe that that's true. So, today is story number 10 in the Big Ten, and since we live in Big Ten country, we know that there are more than 10 teams in the conference, so I'm going to add one next week. Our last one in the Big Ten is going to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. You want to be here for that. Now, let's talk about the day of Pentecost, and I want to set up the context, because the day of Pentecost occurs after Jesus had died. Jesus had died on the cross. Remember, he was in the grave for 3 days, and then he was resurrected. And what an amazing, amazing fact. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And then the Bible says that he spends 40 days with his disciples after his resurrection, talking with them, teaching them, and encouraging them. And then he ascends to heaven. So the Bible says, before he ascends to heaven, in Luke 24, he gives them some instructions. Luke 24, verse 49, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. Everybody say power. Power from on high. Jesus said, listen, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jeff and Marianne are doing. That's what we should all be doing, preaching the gospel to our neighbors, to our friends, to our classmates, to our coworkers, to people across the water, right? That's why we're still here. But Jesus said, before you go do that, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, 120 people obey this command to go to Jerusalem, and for 10 days, they are in the upper room seeking God and praying. And then on the 10th day, this happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, a couple of years ago, the miniseries, The Bible, illustrated this, what happened on the day of Pentecost. So I want to show it to you for a few minutes. Watch the screen and watch the story of the day of Pentecost.
It's 50 days since Passover, the day Jesus was crucified. Now thousands of Jewish pilgrims come to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost.
Any sign of Jesus' followers?
No. I see them, they've all gone back to Galilee.
Do you? Just make sure your men are ready. If they return, you have to deal with them. I cannot call upon the Romans again.
Glad you're here, brother. This way. We must be careful, though. They're watching us.
John, I'm glad you're all safe. It's good to see you again, Stephen. Matthew.
What form will it take? When will it come? Jesus said all we had to do was ask. I have been asking. Every day.
The Holy Spirit will come when the time is right. I think we should pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
I get excited every time I watch that. It's awesome. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Everybody who obeyed the command of Jesus to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. That's what we read in Acts chapter 2. And so the Bible describes this story. Church leaders describe this as the beginning of the church age. So this is when the church began in the New Testament. And in the book of Acts is the account of what happened after this initial outpouring. Okay, so let's talk about what is Pentecost. What is the day of Pentecost? You can follow along in your notes. Here's the first thing. Pentecost is God's pattern. Pentecost is God's pattern. In order to understand the significance of the story, we need to know the significance of the day of Pentecost, which was one of the holy days on the Jewish calendar in the Old Testament. If you look at Leviticus chapter 23 in the Old Testament, you can read about the seven Old Testament holidays that Jewish people acknowledged every single year. So every year there were these seven holy days, seven holidays on the Jewish calendar. I want to show them to you and talk about it because the first one was Passover. And we talked about this in the story of Moses. Remember, the plagues came upon Egypt. The last one was the death of the firstborn. God told Moses, take the blood of a spotless lamb, take its blood and put it on the doorposts of each home. And when the death angel came, it passed over their homes, and their firstborns were saved. And so for years after this, every Jewish person would remember the Passover that night when the death angel passed over the life of the firstborn. And so that began the first feast. Now, how many know Jesus fulfilled Passover? Do you think it was any accident that the very night that Jesus died was the night of Passover? Was that an accident? No, because Jesus fulfilled Passover, didn't he? Right? And he was the spotless lamb. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus was the Passover. And then the next feast that they would celebrate in the Old Testament was unleavened bread. And this was the 3 days following Passover. And so they would eat only unleavened bread. Now what's the point of that? Leaven was a type of sin. Okay? And so God was reminding them to be holy because I'm holy. And so how many days was Jesus in the grave? 3. And because he was without sin, the Bible says the grave could not hold him, right? There was no, the wages of sin is death, right? Romans 3:23. But there was no sin in Jesus, so he fulfilled unleavened bread. And on the third day after Passover, they would celebrate first fruits, okay? So the first fruits was the day, 3 days literally after Passover. And so Jesus rose from the grave 3 days after he died. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, Christ was raised as the first fruits of the harvest, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Okay? So what happened on the actual day of first fruits, when they were celebrating it, Jesus rose from the grave. And how many know because Jesus rose from the grave, watch this, a first fruit is not all the fruit. It's the first of many, right? And so Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, which means when I die, I am part of the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruit, and he guarantees my resurrection from the dead. Oh boy, we could spend a lot of time talking about how powerful this is. Jesus fulfilled Passover. Jesus fulfilled unleavened bread. Jesus fulfilled first fruits exactly on the days of the Jewish calendar holidays. Are you getting this? Okay, so Pentecost is the next holiday on the calendar. And Pentecost was exactly 50 days after first fruits. Okay, and so watch this. Jesus was on the earth after the resurrection 40 days. The 120 were in the upper room for, anybody know how long? 10 days. 40 plus 10 is 50. Pentecost, the word, actually means 50th. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, I thought Pentecost meant hair buns and long dresses and snakes. No, that's not what it means at all. Pentecost, Penta, think about it, literally means 50th. It was the feast of the harvest. It was a celebration of harvest. Everybody say harvest. Now watch this. Jesus fulfilled Passover by becoming the Passover lamb. Do you agree? Jesus fulfilled unleavened bread because he was without sin and in the tomb for 3 days. Would you agree? Jesus fulfilled the first fruits because he rose from the dead on the third day. And because he's the first fruits, he's not the last. We get to rise again after we pass. Come on, somebody. So how did Jesus fulfill Pentecost? What did that look like? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now watch this. On the exact day of Pentecost, what happened? This rushing mighty wind comes from heaven, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ fulfilled Pentecost by baptizing the 120 in the Holy Spirit. Do you see this? Was it a coincidence that this supernatural outpouring of the Spirit happened exactly on the Jewish day of Pentecost? Was it a coincidence? No. It was part of God's pattern. Do you see a pattern? Well, I thought Old Testament didn't matter. Oh, no. The Old Testament's huge deal because it foreshadows, you see the scarlet thread of redemption all the way through it to the day of Pentecost. Now, God's plan to fulfill Pentecost is to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Here's the second part about Pentecost you want to know. Pentecost is God's power. Pentecost is God's pattern. Pentecost is God's power. Now, after his resurrection, remember Jesus gave his disciples instructions, go wait till Jerusalem. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus promised them something. What did he promise them? It starts with a P. It's right here. Can you say it? Jesus promised them power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So the Greek word for this word power in the book of Acts, the Greek word is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis. It's the same word where we get the word dynamite. Now, how many would say a stick of dynamite has some power? That is the word, that's the verbiage that Luke chose to use in the book of Acts to describe the power that Jesus said would come upon his disciples when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God is saying, listen, this Holy Spirit is intended to give you power, explosive power, real power to do what I commanded you to do. That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have power. And remember, the rest of the book of Acts is about them moving and operating in that power. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them all. So listen, the Bible says you'll receive power, and then they begin to move in the power, operate in the power. Do you see this? Power to do what, Pastor? What is this power all about? Well, Acts 1 says, verse 8, power to be a witness, power to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, courage, boldness, power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at your school, in your neighborhood, where you go to work. Come on, somebody. We need the power of God to do just that, power to live a godly life. How many know the Spirit's first name is holy? So when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we naturally have this inclination to be holy. So this baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. It gives us power to be holy, to overcome sin, to overcome habits. Come on, somebody. This is the power of the Holy Ghost. So you say, Pastor, are you saying that you need this power to get to heaven? No, some people teach that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got to speak in tongues to get to heaven. That is not what I'm saying. That's not in the Bible. You get to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Passover lamb. Come on, somebody, right? So you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I mean, no. These days, going to Walmart's an adventure, if you know what I'm talking about. Listen, we need this power to live the life for Jesus Christ here. We need this power to serve the Lord where we live, where we work, where we play, right? That's what we need this power for. And unless anybody think that I'm trying to say in some way that Pentecostals are better than everybody else, let me illustrate it to you this way. God is not trying to create two classes of Christians. He wants everybody to have this power in their lives, okay? Let me illustrate this to you. I've got a few props here. Let me start here, okay. This is a push reel mower. Anybody ever seen one of these things? This one actually works, okay? I didn't know you could actually still buy these things, but I did yesterday. Put it together this morning. It's amazing. Okay, now this will mow your grass, right? This will mow your grass, but it'll take a little bit longer than you'd like, and you have to supply the power, like this, okay? And so some of you enjoy that. God bless you. All right. Now, or you could mow your grass with this, all right? This one's a little different. Do I dare? Yes? I got people shaking their head at me. It's not my mower, so let's give it a shot. Hey, it works. All right, now this one will mow your grass too. A little bit faster, a little bit more effectively. You don't have to supply the... It has an external source of power. Come on, somebody. So, they'll both do the job. The difference is the power. Okay, let's say you have to cut a piece of wood, all right? You can use this puppy right here, a good old-fashioned axe, right. I mean, anybody ever cut wood with one of these things? Yeah, me too. My hands are hurting just thinking about it. Right? So you take this piece of wood, you know. I'm not going to do it, but, you know, here we go. You know, you could try to cut that with this, and this one's a little dull, so you got to get a sharp harp of the axe. Or you could use this. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You take this, get out of the way. I'm going to create a little mess. Well, maybe not. Matter of fact, I'm going to unplug it just for safety purposes. All right. Now, they'll both get the job done. What's the difference between the two? Difference is power. All right. Let's say you had to take a trip to Louisville. All right. Let's say you had to go to Louisville somewhere. You know, you could take this thing right here. Help me, Jesus. All right. Woohoo! This is a reminder to pray for me before every Sunday. All right. So I could ride this to Louisville, and it would get me there. I'd be in a lot of pain when I was done. It'd take a little while, but, you know, with a little effort, I'd be there, right? So I can do that. Or I can jump on this puppy over here, all right? And here we go. Let's see if this works. Turn the key on, he said. Help us, Jesus. There it is. See what happens. Woohoo! All right. Now this will get me to Louisville, right? Stay. All right. It'll get me there a little quicker, maybe in a little more style. What's the difference between the bicycle and the motorcycle? It's power. Listen, that's what God wants us to have. God wants to supply us with an external source of power that we do not have. It's called the Holy Spirit. He is a person, and he's real. And God wants to baptize each of us with this Holy Spirit to do what he's called us to do. Far too many of us try to do it our own strength. Come on, somebody. We're trying to supply our own power, to supply our own strength. God says, I want to give you power of the Holy Ghost to do all that I've commanded you to do. Put your hands together and give God praise if you think that's awesome. Now, but Pastor, I'm not comfortable with the speaking in tongues thing. Now, I want you to notice that in every instance in the book of Acts where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, in every case, the people who received the baptism in the Spirit spoke in tongues. That's the pattern. And matter of fact, speaking in tongues is directly connected to spiritual power. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith by praying in the power of the Spirit. One of the things that we call speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. Jude says it's praying in the power of the Spirit. So this gift that God gives of praying in the Holy Ghost is directly connected to spiritual power. I mean, no, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not intended for you to have a one-time experience and speak in tongues. It's this gift that God gives to us that as we pray in the Holy Ghost, as we pray in this spiritual language, God just builds up this power inside all of us. Come on, somebody. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all y'all. That was the modern day translation of what he said. I speak in tongues more than all you guys, because this is a big deal. It's directly connected to our power. Now, you may have heard recently about the Southern Baptists and their decision that they made about allowing their missionaries to speak in tongues. Anybody heard about this? Let me read it to you. You might have heard a recent statement by the Southern Baptist churches officially allowing their missionaries to publicly accept the idea of being Spirit-filled and speaking in tongues. Now, let me pause for just a second. The reason is this is just a big deal is because before they made this announcement, it was reported that up to 80% of Southern Baptist missionaries already spoke in tongues. That's why it became an issue. You know, it's almost like you American Baptists, you can try to do this without the Holy Ghost if you want, but we're out here in the world preaching Jesus. We need some power. Come on, that was totally free, all right? So here is their report. Watch this. It's on the screen. I want you to see this. It says, after decade-long resistance, the Southern Baptist Convention will admit missionary candidates who speak in tongues, a practice associated with Pentecostal and charismatic churches. All right, keep going. Allowing Southern Baptist missionaries to speak in tongues or have what some SBC leaders call a private prayer language speaks to the growing strength of Pentecostal churches in Africa, Asia, and South America, where Southern Baptists are competing for converts and where energized new Christians are enthusiastically embracing the practice. So what they're saying so far is new believers don't have a problem with this. In so many parts of the world, these charismatic experiences are what? Normative. That's a word for normal. To the rest of the world, this is normal. Are you getting this? That's what the Southern Baptist said. To the rest of the world, this baptism in the Holy Ghost, this speaking in tongues, that's pretty normal. And can I go ahead and tell you that there is no such thing as a non-Pentecostal church in the New Testament? Every single one of the letters that Paul wrote, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Corinthians, all of them were Spirit-filled churches. Just saying. Let's keep going. Said Bill Leonard, professor of church. I'm not sure why I kept that. Let's keep going. I think there's one more. Yeah. Religious groups that oppose them get left behind evangelistically. Translation, the people who are Spirit-filled are winning more people to Jesus. You get this? Because that's the purpose of the power, right? To be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. Now listen, that's not just overseas, it's also in the United States. In the last 5 years, there are only three denominations that are currently growing. The rest are declining. Do you know what all three have in common? I bet you can't guess. They're all Pentecostal. Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. They're the only ones that are still adding converts. Come on, somebody. There's this thing. I'm not trying to say, no, we're better. No, I'm trying to say, this is God's plan. This is God's pattern. This is his purpose, right? So would you like to have more power? Would you like to live in the power of God? God says, then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the last one, and then we're going to pray. Pentecost is God's plan. Pentecost is God's plan. Acts 2:38, verse 38 and 39, Peter said to them, so this is after the initial outpouring in Acts chapter 2, so this experience creates a lot of attention. It did then, it does now, right? So people started gathering. Peter stands up to preach the gospel to them, and here's what he says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Now, let's not complicate this, right? Peter said, this, what you just saw, this supernatural experience, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up for all of these folks that are there for the Feast of Pentecost. He says, this is for you. And it's not just for you. This is also for your children. God wants your children to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And for all who are far off, so even the people who are not yet been born, God says this plan's for them. And then he adds one more thing in case anybody feels excluded. And he says, and as many as the Lord our God will call. So basically, Peter is saying it's for you, it's for your kids, it's for anybody you can think of, it's anybody who's ever been, will ever be born. So that means, that sounds like Peter is saying that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for people who like to be enthusiastic. Or this baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just a flavor of Christianity. No, this baptism of the Spirit is a gift that God wants to give to everybody. Regardless of your denominational title, regardless of how you were raised, everyone, God says, he wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. According to Pastor, I just don't want to be, I don't want to be, you know, those people over in the corner, kind of weirdos. Let me illustrate something to you. According to a survey by Pew Research, the number of Pentecostals or charismatics now number well over 300 million. Pentecostals and charismatic Christians make up about 27% of the people who claim to be Christian. I mean, no, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christian. But he's saying the charismatic and the Pentecostals make up almost 30% of those folks. And by the year 2020, it is estimated that the number of Pentecostals will be 50% of all the people who name the name of Jesus throughout the world. This is no small deal. You know, this is not the weird guy over in the corner speaking in tongues. This is an explosion throughout the entire world. See, Pastor, why is this happening? What's going on? Easy. God said it would happen. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. God wants us all to be filled with the Spirit of God. And as we look around the world, as we read the headlines, as we see the spirit of Antichrist growing, how many know we need more than just a good argument? We need more than just nice words to say to somebody. We need power. We need the power of God. You know, there are people in this room and people you know that are fighting for their lives, steeped in pornography, bound up by demons, bound up by stuff and curses and all kinds of junk going on in your life. And you don't need somebody to come to you and say, you know, everything's going to be okay. No, you need some power to deliver and to save and to heal and to set free. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? That's normal. It's expected. It's what God wants. We don't serve a God who is weak. We don't serve a God who just stands back and says, well, you deserve that. He says, no, I want to give you some power to overcome, power to do what I ask you to do, power to live the life that I'm calling you to live. I will give you power to be holy. I will give you power to overcome. I will give you power to get you delivered. You just receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, Pastor, I agree with you. I need more power. How do I get that power? Well, we look back at the day of Pentecost and we see that they were praying for 10 days. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the formula that you have to pray for 10 days, but it does show us a pattern that prayer is involved, which means you need to ask. Just ask. Just ask for the Holy Spirit. And you know what? God will fill you. The Bible says, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, that's the day you'll find me. I want you to stand in this room today. I've been praying all week for today's service. Every prayer group that was met Tuesday, Wednesday night, Saturday, we've all been praying about today. Because how many of you would agree, this church, the body of Christ, not just in Indiana, but around the country, around the world, needs more power. Raise your hand. If you believe, I believe the body of Christ needs more power around the world. Amen? Well, how does that happen? It happens through you. It happens through me, where I receive the power of God, and I ask. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. All you got to do is ask. Ask. And he will fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you saw in the video, one of the reasons I showed you the video is because you saw one dude that was frustrated. I've been asking every day. You ever know anybody like that? Listen, that means you don't stop, right? You don't stop. Ask and keep on asking, Jesus said. Knock and keep on knocking, Jesus said. And the door will open. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many are here in this room? Nobody's looking around. How many are here in this room? And you say, Pastor, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit as you described. I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit as you've described. But today, I'm ready. I want to be filled with this power. I want more power of God. I need more power of God in my life. If you're a teenager, if you're a young adult, you're a mom or dad, man or woman, it's not about what church you were raised in. It's do you believe God's word is true? And do you believe that you need more power in your life to overcome darkness, to be a witness to people around you, to have courage? If that's you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you raise your hand? That's me. Never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but today is my day. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Raise your hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. I'm just saying, Lord, I believe your word is true. I believe your word is true. Thank you so much. Your hands are down. How many are here today and say, Pastor, you know, I've had an experience with the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm believing I need more power of God in my life. I need more courage to be a witness. I need more power to overcome darkness. I want more of the power of God in my life. I want to be filled again with this Holy Spirit of God and live a Spirit-filled life. If that's you, raise your hands to heaven. Come on, come on. I mean, that should be pretty much the rest of us, shouldn't it? Amen, amen, amen. If your prayer is, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time, or your prayer is, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, I want to be filled again today with this power from heaven, would you get out of your seat and would you join me in this altar this morning, and would you begin to pray? Would you begin to ask? Would you begin to believe, God, fill me with this Holy Spirit? Never been filled before? You want to be filled? We want to pray with you. I want more of the Spirit of God than I have right now. I want more of the anointing of God at my house. I want more of the power of God in my heart and in my relationships. I need power to overcome. I need courage to be a witness. I need courage to stand up at school. I need courage to speak to my neighbors. I need boldness to reach out to family members and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Amen. Now, I'm assuming that everybody else that's still standing in your seat should be praying for the rest of us. Amen. So let's pray. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. Let's believe. Raise your hands to heaven and ask. Raise your hands to heaven and ask. God, fill me. Fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. Fill me, God, with the power of the Spirit. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Fill me with the power of God. Fill me. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Fill me with power. Fill me with strength. Fill me with anointing, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, come. Just like the day of Pentecost. And fill me, oh God, with the fire from heaven. Fill me with the fire of God. Fill me with the glory of the Lord. Let the Spirit of heaven fall upon me, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let it be, God. Let it be, oh God, in Jesus' name.
Open up the sky and fall down like fire. We don't want anything but you. Our beloved Father, please come down. Waiting on your touch. Open up the heavens and shower down your presence. We respond to your great love. We won't be satisfied. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. With anything ordinary, we won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, Lord. Open up the sky and fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky and fall down. Right into his arms. Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Right into his arms. Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Right into his arms. Here we go. Yeah. Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Yeah, right into his arms. Here we go. place that we belong. Right into His home. We won't be satisfied. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied.
God. I want to encourage you and just say and just how grateful I am for those of you that responded today, because clearly the Holy Spirit is preparing you for more than what you have right now. But I want to encourage everybody with this. Sometimes we get our focus messed up when it comes to the Holy Spirit and when it comes to Pentecost or being Pentecostal, because we think it's all about church services. Listen, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they went out. They went out to the marketplace. They went out to the schools. They went out to the cities, and they began to preach Jesus. Can I tell you that this baptism of the Spirit, Pentecost, has come to us not so that we can impress each other with our speaking in tongues, or that we can say, oh, look how spiritual we are because we have this spiritual gift. No, God gives these gifts for the sake of unbelievers who need to see the power of God in their lives. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not even about us, right? It's about becoming a vessel through which God flows through us. Now, he gives us power, absolutely, but he wants that power not to stay here, to flow through us. Some of you, God has given you spiritual gifts, and you already know that. Gifts of healing, gifts of faith, gifts of prophecy. Can I challenge you? Just go ahead and begin to operate in it. I mean, no, that's going to take some boldness. That's going to take some courage. Some of you say, you know, you're sick. Can I pray for it? I believe God to heal you. And give God a chance. Right? Open your mouth and share faith in Jesus with your neighbor, with your classmate, with a total stranger, and trust God to fill your mouth with supernatural words and believe that God's going to burn in their heart and something's going to draw them to Jesus. And you know, all you did, you were the vessel, right? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for vessels through which his Spirit can flow, because he does not want anyone to perish, but to have everyone to have everlasting life. That's why he said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise, and then go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. Amen? Today, the seeking of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not the end. This is just the beginning. Living a Spirit-filled life means I continually ask, I continually knock, I continually seek, and I stay filled with the Spirit. I heard somebody say years ago, the reason I keep asking for the Holy Spirit to fill me is because I leak. Anybody want to testify? Anybody leak, right? So we're not just looking for a one-time experience. We're looking to live a Spirit-filled life. So I double dog dare you to add this to your prayer list. Are you ready? Here's every day when you pray, this is your list. Just say, fill me, Holy Spirit, today. And you know what? He will. He will. Amen? Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Holy Spirit of God rest at your house. May he fill you with supernatural power from on high. And may he use you this week to be a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We love you. God bless you.